playing a different instrument. And so what a blessing it is to have such a talented music ministry, from the chancel ringers to a piece of our prelude to the fourth concert to that special music. We are truly blessed here at Chambly First. Now let's turn our attention to the scriptures. We have an Old Testament reading this morning from the prophet Jeremiah. It's a familiar passage, chapter 29, verses 11 through 14. Hear now the word of God. "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Wow. It is so overwhelming to be standing here this morning in this place after 7 years of serving as a superintendent and getting to preach a lot of different places. It was very difficult to not be involved in the leading of worship every single week. And so we are so glad to be home and to stand here among you and to serve with you. As we begin our time together, I am thankful this morning for so many things. First of all, I am thankful for this wonderful staff, for your music program, for your children's program, your youth program, for Jeff and all that Jeff does. He has been very helpful to me, and I am so thankful for all of the staff and for their warmth and their welcome of me. I also want to thank Dr. Roe Stowe and for her work here. I know that she did excellent ministry among you and that you loved her very much and you still love her. And I want to thank her for her what she has done here. And I also want to thank her for her help during this time of transition. She has been very easy to work with and very supportive, and I am very thankful for that. I also want to thank all of you for your prayers, for your messages of welcome, for introducing yourself. I am excited to be a part of the Chambly First family. I am thankful for the beautiful house that you have provided for me and for all the work that the trustees have done to prepare the way for those who have given special gifts to help in getting the house ready for us. We are certainly thankful and we will enjoy living there over the time. I am very thankful this morning to have our district superintendent, Dr. Doug Thrasher, and his wife Debbie here, and we welcome them and are thankful that they chose to be with us today at Chambly First. I also want to introduce you to my husband, Scott. Can you wave, look around? Scott has trouble, some mobility issues, but we want to recognize Scott this morning. He puts up with me, okay? I wanted this morning to just take a little time to help you get to know me a little bit. I want to talk about how I came to be where I am today, standing in this pulpit at First Methodist Church in Chambly, Georgia. And I want you to understand what I believe about the church and about ministry together. So I'm going to start by saying that I love the church. The church has been a part of my life for 50 years. It's really 57, I'll go ahead and tell you. And I have always been a part of a fellowship of believers somewhere. And it's just who I am. It was what we did on Sunday morning. We stood up. We got up. We got dressed. And we went to church. As a child, I attended a very small Methodist church in the town of Bolingbroke, Georgia. Now, if you don't know where Bolingbroke, Georgia is, it is halfway between Smar and Lorain. You don't know where that is? Oh, okay. It's halfway between Forsyth and Macon. And if you've been to Florida down I-75 or you cut across 475 to miss Macon, that was Bolingbroke. It was there that I learned my first Bible verses. It was there that I learned my first songs. You know, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And deep and wide, I never could get the motions with the right thing. And the B-I-B-L-E, and Jesus loves me. And I learned my first hymns. We had an elderly woman who played the piano for us. She'd played the piano there years and years, and she only knew 5 hymns. So I could sing, I Am Thine, O Lord, Blessed Assurance, He Lifted Me, and several others, word for word, all the verses, because we sang them all the time. We worshiped twice a month. We had to share a pastor with 5 other churches. So we didn't see our pastor very often. But we had Sunday school every week. And my younger brother and I were the only 2 children in the church. But these people took it upon themselves to make sure that we had the appropriate Christian education. And so every Sunday, they had Sunday school for us, and we participated in it. I can remember flannel boards and coloring sheets and learning about all the wonderful characters in the Bible. I loved my 2 Sunday school teachers, Miss Marion and Miss Nell. They were like my own family. In fact, the whole church, all 28, 29 of us maybe, were a family. And that's how I was raised. And then I grew up to be a teenager, and as I got older, my parents became a little bit concerned about my brother and I not having a youth group and children our age. And so we moved down to a little church in Lorain of another denomination that had a youth program, and we joined that church. And in that church, I learned more about my faith. I was active in the youth choir. It's where I learned a joy and began to have a special joy for singing. I was in youth group, Sunday school. There was another group. It was a missions group for girls called ACT Teens. And I was very involved for that. And really, if I look back on it today, I can say that my call to ministry came during that time. I just didn't have a way of understanding it at that age. This church was bigger than my childhood church, but it still felt like home. It was still my family, and I enjoyed being a part of that fellowship. After high school, and well, in high school, I also became more and more interested in music. I played in the high school band. I played flute and decided that I wanted music to be my career at that time. I wanted to be a teacher. That's all I had ever really thought about being. And I thought that if I went to school and studied music education, I could be teach music in an elementary school, the little plastic tonettes and things. And I could even be a high school band director, which was sort of my dream. So I went off to Tift College in Forsyth, and I studied. And as a young person, I listened to all of the leadership of being in a woman's college. This was a woman's college. And so I got to see leadership on a different level, and that was very good for me. I can remember vividly sitting around with my fellow music majors, especially those who were preparing for church music. And I said, and I remember telling them out in the loud, out in the open, that there were two things I was never going to do when I finished college. The first one was go back to school. I have no need of a master's degree. I don't want to go back to school. I am done. I want to teach. And the second one was I never, ever, ever wanted to work in a church. God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? Well, after graduation from college, I found that teaching job, that special teaching job that I wanted. I was teaching elementary music, and I was teaching high school band. We went to football games, we marched, we played at the basketball games, at a small private school in Forsyth. And I thought I was set. But by the end of the first year, I knew that that was not where God wanted me to be. I loved the children, I loved the youth, but I did not like classroom. I did not like dealing with administration, and for those of you who are principals or school officials, it has nothing to do necessarily with you, it was just me. I wanted to be with youth and children, but in a different way. So I started my second year of teaching. I decided to move out on my own for the first time and realized very quickly that teachers don't make a lot of money. And so I began looking for a part-time job. And lo and behold, at Christ United Methodist Church in Forsyth, they were looking for a music director. And I applied and was hired. And I directed the chancel choir and I directed a large children's choir. The church was close-knit. It was growing, but it was close-knit. And there again, I felt this family, this home. I was in the right place. And it didn't take long for me to realize that I enjoyed working in the church more than I did in the classroom. And that was a strange feeling for me. I sat down and I had conversations with my senior pastor about this, about the stirring that I felt in my spirit. And he talked with me about something that was completely foreign to me, and that was a call to ministry. You see, I grew up in a time where all the ministers were men. It wasn't that it was told to me negatively, it was not. It was just that that was something I had never seen a woman do before. So, later on, this particular senior pastor had a revival meeting. And during that meeting, the revival time, he invited a female pastor to come and preach. And for the very first time, I got to see a woman in the pulpit. And something inside my brain clicked. And I knew where God wanted me. My love for the church, the experiences that I had had in church, I knew that this is what God wanted me to do. And so the next fall, I quit my job and I entered seminary at Candler School of Theology. And during those 3 years, I had time to evaluate and to think about and to process all the things that God had said to me and what He was really calling me to do. And that was, He was calling me to share God's love, to build relationships with His people, to preach and to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to lead others to share in God's love through the ministry of the church. And that brings me to where I stand today. You see, for me, the ministry of the church is all about relationships. It's about reaching up to God and out to each other, to love, to encourage, to teach, and yes, to serve. And building those relationships is not just giving lip service to our beliefs in who Jesus is. It is an all-in faith that changes our lives, that transforms the lives around us, that brings us closer together, and this want and this need to reach out and bring others to Jesus Christ. This is a beautiful facility. And I am so thankful for all the work that you've done to make it the place that it is. And it is a tool that enables us to do God's work. And I hope that that's what we're going to do. Because all this beautiful work that you've done will be in vain if we don't share it with those around us. In my years as a district superintendent, I have seen churches who have become closed families to the point of not getting out of the sight of the four walls of their church, worshiping a beautiful building that Grandma and Grandpa helped build. And that's not who we are. These churches are dying because they are not bringing people to Jesus Christ. We are not following God if we sit inside this building and only serve each other. You know, the vision statement of the United Methodist Church is that we are called to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of what? The world. And that means here in the building, in the communities that surround, and in the entire world. We are to be in ministry. A couple of months ago, when I found out that I was coming to Chamblee, I did what all good United Methodist ministers do when they are reappointed. I covered up the tag on my car and went for a ride. And I saw how this community is growing, how it is changing. And that's exciting to me. And I hope it's exciting to you. Because you see, there are people out there who need what we offer. We are strategically placed to live out a calling from God, the calling that comes in our vision statement of making disciples of Jesus Christ. This community needs to hear from us the loving words of God that can transform our lives. They need to hear the call of God to serve others. They need to know that we are people who want them to be a part of the family and come home here to Chamblee First Methodist. They need to know that we are a people of hope. Which brings us to our scripture for today, Jeremiah 29. It speaks of hope. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah was speaking to the people of God who were in exile in Babylon. Their world had been completely turned upside down. They had been taken away from what they knew and carried off to a place that was unfamiliar to them, and they were having a difficult time. And what they needed to know and what the prophet shared with them is that God was still with them, even in the midst of their difficulty, that he was in charge and that better times were coming, and he wanted to proclaim to them the message of hope. You don't have to read the newspapers much or watch TV for very long or open up Facebook or Twitter and see that we live in a very troubled world. Those words that Jeremiah spoke so long ago are the same words that speak to us today. They are words of hope. They are words of love and care. And it's up to us, with God's guiding, to share this good news, this hope, with those around us and throughout the world. There is a hymn in our hymnal, and we won't sing it this morning, but it's hymn number 558. And if you want to follow along, I'm going to read it for you. This was a song that's now in the hymnal that I used to teach my children's choirs way back in the day. And it's called "We Are the Church." The refrain goes, "I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together." And then hear the words of the verses. "The church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. The church is a people. We're many kinds of people with many kinds of faces, all colors and all ages too, from all times and places." Excuse me. "Sometimes the church is marching. Sometimes it's bravely burning. Sometimes it's riding. Sometimes hiding. Always it's learning. And as the people gather, there's singing and there's praying. There's laughing and there's crying sometimes. All of it saying, church together." That is the word of God for us this day. The church. That we are called to be together, to begin working to bring the people in. Bring the people to Jesus Christ. Say, and end this morning by saying, I'm not perfect. I will not always be everything that you want me to be. And I apologize up front. But we are all not perfect. But we're going to do our best. Our best with God's help and with God's guidance to love and to serve and to work to see transformed lives. In the name of Jesus Christ. I look forward to getting to know you, to being a part of your family. I want that. Message me on Facebook. My cell phone number will be on the website. Call me when you need me. Because we are in this all together. We are the church together. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Holy God, I thank you this morning for this church, and for its ministry, and for those who give so much of their time and resources to minister here. Lord, help us as we begin in this time of transition, that we work together to bring about change to our community and to the world. Fill us with hope. Fill us with grace and love, that we may be the people that you are calling us to be. In the name of Christ, amen.